Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
You know, as we kick off the new year, many people, they make resolutions. How many have made resolutions? Some things that you've decided that you want to take place in 2022. If there's a few hands that are up, those of you watching online, we want to welcome you today. And if you've made any resolutions you want to post, go ahead and just put them in the chat section there. But you know, when you think of a resolution really is just a goal that you establish for yourself for the upcoming year, or maybe for a certain time period. And there's different types of goals. So a lot of times people say, I want to eat healthier, I want to work out 3 times a week, or I want to floss my teeth daily. Sometimes the goals are financial, like I want to get out of debt, or I want to save for a down payment on a house, or maybe establish my retirement. For some people, the goals are spiritual. I want to read the Bible through in a year, or I want to fast daily once, you know, for a certain period of time, or maybe I want to implement fasting more in my life on a monthly basis. Or maybe it's something where I want to establish a more consistent, regular prayer life. There's a lot of different types of resolutions, but the thing that I want us to realize is that as you focus on something, it becomes part of you. How many have found that to be? As you focus on it, it becomes a part of you. And something that we've done the past few years is we have had kind of a resolution or more of a theme that we have focused on for the year. We started in 2018 with God Defies the Odds. Some of you may remember we even passed out these cards. They're a little slingshot with rocks, talked about how God defies the odds, David and Goliath. We did the Chase the Lion series, and we had you write down things that you wanted God to do in your life. In 2019, it was seek the king, see the kingdom. In 2020, we focused on our mission. The mission of the church is to help all people find and follow Jesus. If you don't know it by now, you can read the cheat sheet up there, all right? 2021, last year was influence your radius. Influence your radius. And this year, as I was praying about, God, what do you want us to focus on for 2022, he gave me a single word, not a phrase, but a single word, and that word is lead. Not led, okay? But it's lead. Now, most people do not see themselves as leaders. They don't see themselves as leaders. Many of us are not in a position of leadership. We don't have people that are under us that we supervise or manage. And those who even do lead, a lot of times, they only see themselves leading in that arena, in their career. But God wants us to lead in all realms of our life. And that's what we're going to focus on for these next few weeks, is how God has called us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are called to be a leader. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're a leader. And now say right back at you, we are leaders. Many of you might be saying, man, Craig, I don't know about that. I really don't think that's true. Let me ask this statement. I'm going to see how many of you would agree with this statement, okay? And this statement, it's in your notes. By the way, if you are taking notes in your study notes, you are handed a program. First of all, it was the prayer guide. How many got the prayer guide as you came into church today? You did? Mine just vanished on me. But anyway, the prayer guide inside is the study notes. And if you're online and have the U version, you can be seeing all of our notes right there online. But in your notes this morning, Christians are to imitate Jesus. How many would agree with that statement? If you're a follower of Jesus, we're supposed to imitate Jesus. I think most of us would agree that we're to imitate Jesus. So, disciples are followers of Christ. He is our pattern. He is our model. What Jesus did, that's what we are to do. And this morning, I kind of want to look at the two positions Jesus assumed when he came to earth, all right? Because these two positions are the same two positions you and I are to assume in our lives as we imitate Christ. Position number one is that of Jesus as a lamb. Jesus as a lamb, and he followed God. As a lamb, He followed God. Scriptures talk about Jesus being a lamb. Isaiah prophesied about Christ dying for our sins in Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now, verse 7 talks about Jesus' attitude as He approached crucifixion. It says, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. We also see John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. He described Jesus as a lamb. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The reason Jesus is portrayed as a lamb is because in the Jewish sacrificial system, the lamb was the sacrifice for the Passover. When Israel was slaves in Egypt, God was going to set them free. And after a series of plagues, the final plague was the plague of the firstborn. And God said, Take a pure, spotless lamb, sacrifice it, put its blood on the doorposts of your home, and at night the death angel will pass over the homes that have the blood on it. The homes that didn't have the blood, the firstborn died. And Jesus symbolizes the Passover lamb. It was during the Passover meal when Jesus took the bread and said, This is my body. He took the cup that symbolized the blood of the Passover lamb, the blood after supper, the cup after supper, and He says, This cup is my blood. Jesus was the Lamb of God who died for our sins. When He did that, He freed us from the slavery of sin, just as Israel was freed from slavery in Egypt. Jesus set us free from sin, and death has passed over us. So instead of experiencing the wages of sin, which is death and eternity and punishment in hell, we now have eternal life. So that's one reason why Jesus is shown as the lamb. But I think there's another significance to Jesus being a lamb or being a sheep, and that's because sheep follow a shepherd. Sheep follow a shepherd. And this is a key thing. Jesus followed the will of God. He did what His Father wanted Him to do. Jesus did not want to suffer on the cross. How many of you realize that this morning? He did not want to suffer. He asked His Father to spare Him from the crucifixion, but He surrendered His will and His desires, and He followed God's plan. We read about this in Matthew 26, verse 39. This is the night that Jesus is going to be betrayed. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, and He goes a little farther in the garden. He falls on His face, and He prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Jesus followed God even when He didn't want to. Jesus followed God even when He knew it was going to hurt Him. Jesus followed God even when He knew it wasn't comfortable, convenient, and it would cause pain. That's what He did for us. And He wants us to follow Him in the same way. We are so blessed in America that in the freedom we have, we don't have to really worry about persecution. But all over the world today, there are people that are suffering for being Christians. I received a newsletter from one of our missionaries, and I can't say their names because they are planting churches in a Muslim country. The country is 99% Muslim. And they said, you don't wish people a Merry Christmas in this country because Christmas is not a holiday. They don't celebrate it. In fact, it would be like offensive for them if they celebrated Christmas. Something we say so flippantly and carelessly, we don't realize that all around the world there are people suffering for Christ today. That's why we give to missions, so that all people can come to that knowledge that God so loved, He gave His Son. The Christmas series that we just learned about. God loves us, and Jesus laid His life down, and He's saying, I'm looking for a people who will lay their lives down and follow me. Jesus even characterized people as in one of two groups. He said, you're either sheep or goats, all right? Now, I don't know, either one doesn't sound too complimentary, you know. You're a goat or you're a sheep, you know. But in Matthew 25, verse 32, Jesus tells this parable. He says, all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them from one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, he'll set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. In your study notes this morning, we are either sheep or goats. We either follow God and his ways or we don't. We're either sheep or we're goats. We follow God or we don't. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So many people think that love. I was just at a New Year's party yesterday, and I was talking to a guy, and, you know, the question always comes up, what do you do? And when I say a minister, it's amazing how the conversation changes, or it ends very abruptly and they walk away. It just happens that way. And this gentleman, he was talking about, well, God loves and accepts everyone, you know, but I have found that I don't go to church because, me and my family, we don't go to church real often because I don't want to push God's sense of humor, and I don't want him to get mad at me, because he was basically saying, I'm not good enough, but I really don't want any, you know, God loves me and accepts me the way I am, but I just don't want to get too close to him because then he'll really see who I am, and, you know, that's not good. Friends, God sees us no matter what. God sees everything. And while God is loving and accepting, if we don't receive his offer of salvation that Jesus died for our sin, then we experience his punishment. Not going to church doesn't keep you out of the doghouse. It might make you feel better for a while, but the Bible says there is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. All of us are going to be judged. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that judgment of death and punishment of hell passes over you and you have eternal life. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you following Jesus? Is he your leader or are you calling the shots? Goats don't follow a shepherd. Sheep follow a shepherd. In fact, they say, sheep will stay in one area, they'll eat all the vegetation, and they won't look for new vegetation. You need someone to lead them to a new pasture. Otherwise, they'll just stay there and die. Sheep need a leader. We are all sheep. We need Jesus to lead us. If we try to do life in our own power and our own ability, we're in deep weeds. In fact, you're in worse than deep weeds. You experience God's judgment in hell. Now you say, man, I didn't come to church for a downer. Hey, friends, Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. He came to take everyone's death penalty and give us eternal life and joy. We heard the word, he wants to give you joy. One person's happy about receiving joy. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you victory and comfort and hope. We have a God who loves us. What a great God we serve. Okay, let's move on. Under this point of being sheep and goats, a foundational leadership principle, if we're going to lead the way God wants us to lead, we need to realize that the way up is by submitting down. The way up is by submitting down. First, submitting to God, and what God says is right and wrong, we submit to that. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But it's not just submitting to what God says, it's submitting to the authorities God has placed in our life. King Saul did not submit to Samuel's leadership and he lost the kingdom. Submission to authorities is such a key thing because rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And when we're rebellious towards authority, ultimately we're rebelling against God's authority in our life. So we need, if you want to be a great leader and do great things for God, the way up is by submitting down. A great book I encourage you to read is John Bevere's Undercover. he talks about this whole idea of submission. And he talked about when he was first in ministry, he was rebellious toward his pastor because God had given him this great idea. And he was rebellious against his pastor because his pastor wouldn't let him do it. And he was so mad. And someone came to him and said, John, if you don't submit to your pastor, it's going to destroy you. And he talks about the journey that God took him through. He has a fantastic ministry today, but he had to learn that the way up is by submitting down. And so we need to be sheep. Look at your neighbor and go, bah. I bet that's the first time you've done that in church, huh? All right, let's go on. Jesus assumed the position of a sheep, of a lamb. He followed God. That's what we need to do in our lives. But there's a second position he assumed, and that is Jesus as a shepherd, where he led others to God. John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says these words, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Verse 15, the second part, I lay my life down for the sheep. Christ's life was about leading other people to God. Jesus, as a shepherd, he led others to God, and he's given all of us Christ followers that same privilege and responsibility. In your notes, I've included several scriptures and just kind of given a snapshot of what it talks about. But these are scriptures that talk about leadership, that talk about us being shepherds and leading people to God. In Revelation 5:10, it says, He has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Do you realize you're a king or a queen, all right? You're royalty and you're a priest. Kings ruled in the social, political arena, and the priests, they were the rulers in the spiritual. Friends, we are to rule in earthly matters and in spiritual matters. We are to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. God wants you and I to establish His kingdom on planet earth, and that is our responsibility. We don't wait until the second coming and Jesus rules and reigns. We'll do that physically as political leaders in the second coming. But Jesus wants us to spread the kingdom of God in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. That is our responsibility now as kings and priests of God. It goes on in Deuteronomy, verse 28:13. It says, The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Notice, if you follow and obey the commands, then you are the head and not the tail. So as we're followers, he says, I'm going to make you leaders. I'm going to make you at the head, at the front. So many believers walk around with this poor self-image, feeling like, I can't do anything for God. I'm not really that powerful. I'm not that talented. I'm not that gifted. Friends, you're the head, not the tail. God sees you in an elevated position. The devil wants to see you in a demoted position, because if you don't realize who you are, then you're not going to attempt anything great for God. Let's go on. Another scripture, Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus' last words before he went to heaven was, Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 8, he said, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the farthest parts of the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Friends, we are followers who are to lead. We are followers who are to lead other people to God. That's our calling, to be leaders. The devil doesn't want us to see ourselves as leaders. Why? Take a look at this chart in your notes, this comparison between followers and leaders. Followers react. They only do what they're told to do. But leaders, they take initiative. They see something that needs to be done and they act on it. Followers do without thinking, but leaders do because of a dream. Leaders have a dream that God gives them, and then they act out of that. Followers copy their environment. Leaders change their environment. Followers are thermometers. They reflect the temperature. You have a thermometer that tells you that it's 15 degrees outside. I wish it read 80 degrees right now here. But leaders are thermostats. They set the temperature. They don't like what it is. They don't like the status quo. They say, I'm going to set the temperature. I'm going to heat this up because we need some passion, or I'm going to cool this down because we need some calmness here. That's who leaders are. And if you think about it, all the great men and women of the Bible had these characteristics of leaders. You think of Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, Moses, Esther, Ruth. They all had a dream. Abraham's dream was God said, go to a country I'll show you and I'll make you a great nation. Moses' dream was to take Israel out of slavery. Joseph's dream was to be a great leader. Esther's dream was to save the whole Jewish race. Ruth's dream was to serve the living God. They all had dreams. They took initiative. They acted. They changed their environment out of the status quo. They were thermostats. They set the temperature of the spiritual climate in the people around them. If you want to do something great for God, which I think most of us do, then God is calling us to assume the mantle of leadership. And for these next 5 weeks, the beginning of the year, we're going to be focusing specifically on how do we lead, how do we become leaders, and then we'll be weaving that theme throughout the year. But friends, God is calling you and I to lead. You maybe feel like, man, I don't know if I can do it. With God, all things are possible. It is possible for you to lead. It is possible for you to make a difference. It is possible for you to be a world changer, because that's who God has created you to be in your DNA. Look at those scripture verses we had before. Begin to memorize those. Begin to, if you feel you can't lead, begin to make them a part of you. Look at them every single day. You know, over Christmas break, as I was going out shopping and, you know, getting gifts and or returning gifts and different things like that, it just struck me how our world is so devoid of God. When you're out and you see people, they're shopping, they're going to movies, they're going to restaurants, they're getting coffee, and just as you look at the activity of the world, you really don't see God anywhere. You just see people being busy about everyday life. And you know what? We need to be careful as Christians, because we can get caught up in that same busyness of just doing life. In your notes this morning, most of the people around us do not know God and are going to hell. Do you realize that? Most of the people around us, when you go to work tomorrow, if you go out for lunch today, when you go to the store to pick up your groceries or return the Christmas present that doesn't fit or broke already, most of the people around us don't know God, and they're going to hell. As Christ followers, we have a responsibility beyond ourselves. You see, it's not only about you and me getting to heaven. It's about taking other people there. Our purpose is to help all people find and follow Jesus. We want to depopulate hell and populate heaven. That's our calling. And it is so easy for us to lose sight of the fact that my calling is to lead others to God. That's why we are still here on planet Earth. So I want you to purpose in 2022, I'm going to lead people. I'm going to lead people, including myself, to God. Now, how do we make this happen? How do we effectively lead, and how do we effectively follow? It basically boils down to one thing in your notes. We must live in relationship with God. We must live in a close relationship with God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus had a close relationship. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus said, "I look to God to see what I should do. And God shows me what to do." Do you realize God wants to have this kind of relationship with you that he can prompt you? If you're driving down the interstate at night and there's wrecks on both sides, he can tell you, "Get off the road now," to protect you. And he does that for personal things in our lives to protect us and guide us, but he also wants to do that to impact other people and to lead them to him. And it might not be that you lead 40 people in a sinner's prayer in 1 week, but it's just saying something nice, something encouraging, making a phone call, just doing something. You hear your neighbor sick and you take a meal over to them, whatever it might be. But God wants to give you promptings that lead other people to him, that turn their attention towards Jesus. He wants us to live as Jesus lived on the earth. How did Jesus respond to conflict, criticism, temptation, rejection, disappointment, injustice, and betrayal? That's how God wants you and me to respond. If we could turn the piano down a little bit. It's a little loud up here for me. Thank you. Jesus showed people who God was and what God wanted for them. That's what God wants for us. We're entering the week of prayer, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. You're given a prayer guide there this morning, and on the front there's a different focus of who Jesus is. Today, Jesus is supreme, and he should have authority in every area of your life. That's what you can focus on. Watch the video devotional today at 1:30. Watch every day's devotional as it comes out at midnight. You don't have to watch it at midnight, but that's when it's available every day thereafter. And that's going to be a prayer focus. But on the inside, there are some things for you to consider about being a leader, how God wants you to lead. Begin to pray through that during this week of prayer. On the right side, there are some things that you can pray specifically for our church. And I encourage you, sign up for an hour time slot out there. That's right around the door when you go. Some of you say, "Man, Craig, I can't pray an hour." You know, that's okay. Pray as long as you can. The reason we say pick a time, pick an hour, because if you don't, it's so easy to say, "Well, I'll pray later," and you never get around to it. So just look for a spot, 2 p.m. in the afternoon or 2 a.m. in the morning. Whatever it is, sign up for it. Go to one of the prayer meetings. Sign up for that so we know how much room to have. But make this week a week to recalibrate yourselves. That's why we do a week of prayer, because in the beginning of the year, because so many times we come to the Christmas season, and how many have been busy during the Christmas season? There's parties and shopping and traveling and family and company you're hosting, and you can get tired. But this first full week of January, recalibrate yourself spiritually. But also begin to pray for God to give you a dream as a leader. What does he want you to do? You know, I mentioned how in 2018, we gave out these cards for people to put down what are some dreams that you want God to do that they kind of defy the odds. I found my card just yesterday, and I looked at my list, and there were some things on there that God has not done a single thing in the natural that I've seen any progress, any movement on at all. In fact, in some areas, I'd say it's gone backwards. There are some areas where it's like, yeah, I can see how God has been doing kind of baby steps and setting some things up in that area. And then in another area, he's taken it to a lot. But not a single one of my things from 4 years ago, prayer lists, items, God has completely fulfilled in totality. And when I realized that, the thought entered my mind, see, what good does it do to pray? Why even pray? Why even try? Because God doesn't answer prayer. He hasn't done those things. And then you know what thought followed right on the edge of that? Why even serve God at all? Because he hasn't been faithful to you. Okay, where do those thoughts come from? Demonic influence. The devil or one of his minions whispered in my ear, God doesn't answer prayer. Why serve God? And when the second part hit me about why even serve God at all, I'm going, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Because here's the thing. The devil wants to discourage us in our relationship with God because that's where the power comes from. The power to follow as a lamb comes from a close relationship with God. That's how Jesus could say, not my will, but your will be done, and he laid his life down. The power to lead others to God comes from a close relationship with God. It all is based on relationship. And if the devil can get you and I to stop praying, or even better yet, to even stop serving God at all because we feel it's a waste, he hasn't been faithful, then he has won a victory in our lives. What's interesting is this morning, and my spot I signed up is 4 a.m. for my week of prayer, okay? So I got up at 3:50 and I prayed for my time slot for an hour, and I just kept having some devotions and reading, and I picked up my journal because I just wanted to start writing down what happened when the devil said, why even serve God? And I wrote that in my journal. And then when I got done writing just about kind of the week and what's happened, I decided to go back to the beginning of my journal of 2021 and begin to read the entries through. And as I read through, you know what I saw? God answered prayer here. God answered prayer there. God answered prayer there. God answered prayer. And it was like, as I was reading through the year and seeing how God answered prayer, it's like, okay, yeah, prayer does make a difference. There's also some things God said, you said you were going to do that last year, and you stopped. And it's like, oh boy, yeah, okay, I got to up my game. I got to heat things up and set the thermostat. Heat some things up in my life to begin to do those things that I felt he wanted me to do. God is calling you and I to be leaders. I believe Jesus wants the entire world to be saved. He wants all of Casper to be saved. But it's not going to happen unless my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. God wants to bring revival to our city, and he wants to do it through you and through me as we lead and follow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Begin to establish a close relationship with Jesus, because that is foundational to being a leader and a follower in 2022. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your patience with us. God, I just think about those areas that I dropped last year, and you didn't beat me up over them, because you're a loving Father. And in your time and your way and your place, you showed me those areas that I need to address in my life. God, I pray today you'll be speaking to each and every one of us about areas in our life that we need to address in 2022, areas that we haven't been following you or areas that we haven't been leading in.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.